It's been about 18 months. I know time goes by really fast, and it's been about 18 months since Cyril stepped back and went on to go to Tyndale and become a professor and leave us here. And at that time, this particular lead team gathered, and we started looking at what shall we do next? What is our future now? Now that things have changed fairly significantly, what do we do? And as we've shared with you before, there was a good while where we were talking 6 months at a time. You know, things were unstable in a sense. We were all, this was new to everything and everybody. I'm making noises here. Nope, okay. And so we would talk 6 months at a time. Now when we stand here today, we're talking 18 months ahead. We are at a place where we are ready, and we feel like through the prayer that we've gone through and through talking to all of you, we are ready now to look farther into the future. So I'm really excited about it. I don't know how many of you remember that that TV show that was This Is Us. Yeah, so that became kind of a phrase, This Is Us, This Is Us. We're going to look at who we are right now a little bit and welcome any and all comments about that later. We're also going to look at the big V vision that has not changed, but we're going to unpack it a little bit so we understand what was our original vision as Groundswell, what is it today, where are we going? And then a little bit toward the end about specific plans, things you can look for to be coming up soon. So that's where we're going. So current reality, let's look at the current reality. We are located in a very unique place. If you were here during COVID, you remember being over at that school and then over at that building and then down at the region, and we were just wandering all around, it seemed like. We were nomads looking for a place to be, and we ended up here just before everything shut down. But we're located in Tansley Woods in Burlington, and we thought over the time that it's really important for us to notice where God has planted us. And so we are, if you look out this door, there are families out here. If you look farther beyond, there's some almost 400 houses of people who are sort of 55 plus. And then if you look right across the street, of course, we know we have a seniors residence. Bob is with us today. And several people that we have grown to love are right across the street from us. We're planted, we feel in a unique place. And this has been stable for us going forward. So we are, as you have been keeping track with us, we are a developing church. We are moving to one more stage with the Alliance, and that is they think of as kind of a local church status. So legal things are changing. The CRA, we've done all we can to put our application in. It's sitting there with them. They tell us it could be months before it gets looked at, but that's for us to have our own charitable status. So there's legal things that are happening. The financial status for us, we'll say more about it later, but we're kind of at a break even. Yeah, we know that in the past 18 months there's been times when we were really below what we needed for a month to operate, and sometimes higher. But we've been more consistently break even, and that's been a good thing. We chose early to develop what we think of as this unique model, this non-traditional unique model of worship of Sunday morning, in which we don't have a single pastor that preaches all the time and the same worship team that is always leading us in worship. We have guest speakers, we have guest worship leaders. At first, and maybe you didn't feel it, but we certainly felt that we weren't sure. We weren't sure if that was going to be okay. We weren't sure if that would work. None of us had ever actually been to a church that did that. And so we weren't quite sure. What we've heard from you over the past is, hey, we kind of like this. We kind of like the different perspectives that come in on a Sunday morning. We kind of like different faces and different positions on things. It makes us think. And we love the different variety of worship leaders that we have coming and going. So the non-traditional model has worked, we feel like, and that's what we feel like you're telling us, it's worked. And so we're going to say a little bit about that going forward. Let's look at the D, and I didn't say on that other one, our attendance is about 40. If everybody came on a Sunday morning, we'd have about 40 people now. And that's great. That's up from about 25 or 27 or something. So God has already blessed us, and we are already kind of at the airport taxiing toward takeoff. Let's look a minute at our DNA, or how what we're made up of. And I would really encourage you when we're doing Q&A to add your thoughts to this, because this is what, as lead team, we sat around kind of and said, this, you know, who are we? Our demographics actually match the people around us. We have some families, we have some retirees, we have people in our congregation that live in Tansley Woods. So we actually are reflective demographically of our surroundings, which isn't always the case for churches, and it should make that simpler for us to go out. As Ian has said, we're going to say more about that. We are a pray first church, and we keep talking about that. We're a pray first church. We are a church soaked in prayer. And I want you to know that your lead team meets monthly, and we pray. We pray first. And we stop, and we'll read a scripture, and we share about it, and we think about it, and we ask God to direct us, because this is not our show. This is not your show. This is God's show. This is what God is doing in Burlington. And we feel like prayer first is what gives it that engine. We share, and the way we put it is a strong relational unity in Christ. What we mean by that, and we grappled with what the words might be to describe that. If you look around, we come from very different backgrounds. Many of us are not native Canadians. Many of us were ethnically diverse, we're age diverse, we're background diverse. We come from all different faith traditions, are sitting in this room today. And yet we have an affinity, we have a closeness, we have a unity. And some of it is actually reflective of the alliance. The alliance itself, the alliance as an organization, refers to this as the big tent, as kind of majoring on the majors in your Christian walk, but not getting too hung up in the minors, the things that are more minor. And we do this at home groups. We do this on Sunday mornings with a variety of speakers. And it's kind of a wonderful thing to watch, because in this world of disunity, of no two people hardly ever being able to get into a room and have any kind of an intelligent conversation about much without, you know, having problems, we seem to have, God has blessed us with this ability to do this, and it's, I think, unique and fabulous to experience. We have a healthy level of volunteer engagement. Brian would know the numbers, what the average church percentage is for people who volunteer and get busy on a Sunday morning or get busy in different ministries. And we're much higher than the average church. People are engaged here, and that's, it's so exciting to be around. We're generous. We're a generous church. We're generous with our time. We're generous with our treasures. We're generous with our talents. And we're going to be leaning even more into that as we go ahead. I so appreciate Ian. Ian was my pastor for 25 years. I've learned many, many things from Ian over the years. And I so appreciate it when you talked about that coziness with, you know, just it's a love fest, you know. And we have a love fest here, and which is delightful and not to be taken for granted. And it comes with a warning, and I'm glad for that. So that's kind of who we are. So let's look at our mission. This is our mission, and has been for who was here in the beginning? 6 years? 6 years, rough. Yeah. Some of you are the originals when Groundswell stepped out in faith and said, "God, lead us." Don't know where you're going to lead us. And for those of you who've been here for a while, it's been an up and down road. You went all through COVID and everything. But this mission is not changed. I want you to know that. There's some things that are changing and some things that are not changing. The mission is not changing. We are this community. The whole vision was to be a community like this. Oh, if we could be a community like this, what could we do? What would be possible? The mission is the same, is to take that community like this and go out with it and share it with others and let other people know about Jesus and let other people know about the life. So that hasn't changed. We're going to point some of these things out. So our mission is exactly what Jesus says. We are to be the workers. He says the harvest field is plenty. The workers, the actual workers, the people who show up are few. And we are few. We are the ones that are showing up. So we feel like that is our mission. And it hasn't changed. The goal is to grow now. The goal is to grow. And I've put uniquely there because there are some ways in which we're looking at growth that are a little bit different than maybe if you have a business and you think about how to grow your business, et cetera. So let's start with why grow? Why grow now? Or why grow? Why wouldn't we just stay like this? I think Ian has covered that really well. We could choose to do that. We could just choose to just enjoy this. But there's a few reasons why not to. The main one here being that we've been told not to. We've been told to go. We've been encouraged. We have the authority. We have the power. As we've been listening to Brian and Ian unpack the Sermon on the Mount and talking about how God has given us this power to do this. And so we have been told to. But a second question, why grow now? Why wouldn't we just wait? Why wouldn't we just kind of chill for a year or so and just wait? Well, here's some hard realities, and we know this. Any of you that are business folks, you know that your business grows or it dies. So do churches. If we huddle too long, we will eventually cease to exist. It's just a natural attrition, and various things arise in churches. So it's almost a grow or die situation when you think about church growth. Our legal status is changing, and that's changing things for us. It's legal things, and we're not all about legal things, but it changes things for us. We have new structures that we need to adopt. We have new ways we need to organize ourselves. And so change is happening around us. It's getting it in our hearts that'll be our challenge. Our personal needs and availability are changing, and this is about Pastor Brian. He'll be speaking to this in a few minutes. But personnel changes are coming as well. The world around us, and these two I think are the really, really key things. The world around us needs Christ more than ever. Can I get an amen? This world is, enough said. We need to be a future-ready church. I sit on a board of Partners International. It's an organization that outreaches to the hard-to-reach places in the world and preaches the gospel and establishes churches. And we got a message this week from the partners that are on the ground in Syria. And today, as we are standing here, they are running for their lives. They can't be here. They can't be in a room. They've lost their rooms. They've lost their places of worship. They've lost their houses. They've lost each other. And they are still meeting. And they are finding new places to meet. And Ian was over in Syria with some of the people from Partners years ago, and he can attest to this. He's got lots of stories that he could share. We have a rare privilege right now that may not last forever. Likely won't. So we need to be a future-ready church. We need to know what it means to have each other's back, to continue to meet, to continue to be strong together. Because this will seem like a honeymoon someday. And I'm not a prophet. Yabina is, so you can check with Yabina, but anyway, that's what I'm thinking. And that's what we're thinking collectively. God's work is that he has planted us here. He has stabilized us here. He has gifted us, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. He's equipped us, and we are ready. The only thing that remains for us is to say yes. So what about growing? What am I talking about? Because sometimes we look at various measures of growth, and the first two on this slide, this particular slide, is something that we've been doing all along, of course, is nurturing each member's ability to personally develop with Christ. We have Sunday morning, we have home groups, we have ladies' breakfasts, we have all kinds of opportunities in which we are encouraging each other and spurring each other on. We also are equipping people, and that's going to get more robust in this next little while, equipping us better to serve in our giftings. We believe in the body of Christ that Christ has put everything we need. Yeah? That's what he says. I'm going to give you everything you need. It might not look like it's everything you need, but it's everything you need to do the work that's outside your door. And so we're going to lean into that. Some of the sort of nuts and bolts milestones that we'll be looking at for growth, or the way to measure growth, is membership. We said we are now sort of stabilizing around 40. We've set a goal, or we hope to set the goal, of about a 50% growth, something like around there, so 40 to 60. For financial stability, we want to go from breaking even to fully funded. We are not here to make money, that's for sure. We're not a church about money. But we are here a church that knows you need certain funds to be able to really go and do important things. So that would mean donations would need to increase by about 50%. We're running now right now about 89,000. We need to move to about 130. Remember, this is an 18-year. 18 years. I'll be long gone by the 18 months. Yeah. That's why you have a husband, is to correct you on things. we also, one of the milestones would be moving from temporary contracts, we're now on just stipends and have been for quite a while, to some permanent staff. There's some staffing needs that we need to do. So what do we need to do to grow? Well, I think Ian has already said it. I'm going to show it in just a slightly different way. And this comes, by the way, from Faithful Presence by David Fisk. This is a great book. If you haven't read it, read it, because it really talks about this whole progression of, and I have it opposite. This is up, in, out. Yes? Yeah. I should know this. We did like 19,000 months about this when we went together. Anyway, but this is a shift. This is one shift. It's not everything, but it's one shift that we're looking at being more like the disciples that we've been called to be. So in this little graphic, it shows that closed circle, where closed circle with us and God. Then we've got like a dotted circle where we are the hosts. We have chairs in the back that say, welcome, come on in, sit in the chairs. If you don't want to come into the whole service, you can sit back there. We're opening these doors, and that is represented, these dotted circles. We're opening and we're saying, come on in, and we pray each Sunday for people. But the out is to go out there. And it's to go out there in unique ways, not necessarily, certainly not knocking on doors and dropping flyers. It's to go out in a unique way where we are their guests. So maybe we go and do Earth Day with them, and we help clean up their complex, because we go and we be with them. Okay, so, and we'll talk way more about that as time goes on. So what does this mean for us? It means embracing a discipleship culture. And that doesn't need to be a scary thing, because we're going to unpack all of this as we go along. But let me say a little bit about it. I think there's sort of three aspects of this. One is fostering this culture of commitment. Think about Nehemiah. Some of us are familiar with the story of Nehemiah, where he's telling the people, take your sword. You know, for us, that's the word of God. Take your trowel and build the walls of Jerusalem again. At the same time, protect yourself, advance. Protect yourself, advance, and build it. Build the wall as you go. It's an all-in culture. It's any part of us that might be tempted to be spectator. You know, this is nice, this is lovely, I'll show up and I'll just soak and then go. Moving on to full participants. Onto increasing in engagement for everyone. And how we were hoping to do that is by helping to equip all of us. And it's always all of us, to understand our spiritual giftings better. So you'll see in a couple minutes, when we get to some of the particulars that are happening, we'll be doing a workshop of sorts to learn what are our spiritual gifts. How have we been sorted and sifted by God up until now to make us ready to actually be his witnesses in a more powerful way. It's embracing a discipleship culture, and it's discipling both continually internally and externally. So we're not, as Ian said, you don't abandon this, You learn to encourage in different ways here, mentor, encourage, disciple, and out there. And then the end result, we hope, will be impacting both our individual, and I'll say something about, and collective missional activities. Many of us here, and we've talked about this at Teams so many times, many, I'd say, as I look around the room, most of us here are doing things, ministerial type things, outside of Groundswell. We do them inside of Groundswell. We have our things we volunteer for and the things we do. But if you'll really talk to people, you'll see that they're also doing this other thing and this other thing. And that is just as valid, just as important as what we do together as a church. So we hope to initiate some times where we can talk and share those things with each other, because it's encouraging. When you hear other people are doing things for Christ and you didn't know it. You didn't know that was happening. Charmaine's shared some stuff, and I won't out her, but she shared some stuff with the team just this week. And it's like, I didn't know you were doing that. I didn't know you were doing that. Ruth is out there training people on boundaries so they can have better relationships. Jackman is teaching people how to play cards and gathering them. There's all kinds of interesting things happening that we do individually, where we use our own homes, our own neighborhoods, and we hope that this will spill into that, that people will find themselves thinking, oh, I could do that. I could do that in my neighborhood. I could do that with my friends. And we're seeing this as a, not an even split, but sort of keeping in mind that these are the three different areas that are around us. The families out here, the retirees there, and the seniors over there. Does not mean that we're closing our doors to anybody of any age or ilk. Our doors are wide open to anybody and everybody. But in order to sort of focus, we need to focus and see what the people around us are there for. Okay. So what does this mean for us? We hope, our hope and prayer is that this means that each one of us over these next 18 months are going to go deeper with God. Wherever we've been, whether we've been already really, really deep or we're just starting or where it is, that we go deeper with God, that we learn more about ourselves, how we've been made, how we've been gifted, what we actually have to give to this group or those people or your own neighborhoods. It's learning unique ways to express our faith and use our gifts. And we're not going to just say, well, good luck with that. You know, we're going to provide training and opportunities and that sort of thing. It's serving our Burlington neighbors in new ways, in different ways, unique ways, maybe surprising ways to them. Like, when I mentioned to you, many of you know Debbie, my friend that lives over there, and I mentioned to her, hey, you know, we'd like to come and do Earth Day cleanup with you guys. She said, really? Like, why would you do that? Interesting. Some of these ways are unique ways. It's serving the Burlington community and our neighbors in new ways, and it's building God's kingdom in Canada. If we don't build it, who will? If not us, who? If not now, when? Would we wait for a more troubling time? Would we wait for a more uncertain time? So that's some thoughts. And if you're having questions, just, you know, write them down. So let's a minute or two on what's not changing, because sometimes we think, oh, wow, everything's changing. It's not ever going to be the same. What's going to happen to this? What's going to happen? Well, here's some things that are not changing. God is on his throne. He had a plan for Groundswell the day you guys stepped out, and he still has a plan, and he's still at work, and he's been just watching us and encouraging us and bringing us along. He is going before us. That's our prayer a lot at Team, is go before us. Don't let us get lost on the path. Our purpose is his plan. So some of the nuts and bolts of that, the non-traditional model or the unique model will continue. It'll be modified. You'll see, as Brian unpacks it, be modified a bit as personnel shuffles around. But we'll keep a portion of the idea of visiting speakers and worship leaders. Bethany will continue to be administrator. I've listed some of the ministries here. These are not all the ministries that we're involved in right now, but these will continue, and new ones will be launched as it becomes apparent to all of you, or one of you that says, I feel called to do this. I feel called to do that. We're not just going to sort out a whole bunch of new ministries and say, now let's see if we can find people to do them. Let's see what God does. Let's see who God speaks to. And then our location is not changing. We hope. But we actually feel like that's a blessing as well, because we are situated here where we have this as an option. We have the town hall, thank you to Bob and those advocates over there, that we can move there if we have to. We have the clubhouse that we can go to as well. So even though this isn't a church building, we have options right around us and good connections with those options, so that's great. So some of the things that are specifically will be happening, and we're almost done here, is the first one is, you remember, cast your minds back 3 or 4 months, and we had a membership Sunday. We had a time when you looked through what it meant to be a voting member, and you signed the paper or didn't, and you said, yeah, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in being a voting member. As I said, one of the things that's changing is the legal status with the CCD and with the CRA. Both of them require us to have voting members, people who are willing to speak into things, people who are willing to vote on how things go, people are willing to be accountable for things. So we're going to do membership interviews starting soon in May. What we've done is divvy ourselves up in teams, and so like Nick and I are a team, and I think Brian and Charmaine are a team, and Ralph and Brian are a team. We've divvied ourselves up into teams. We'll be getting a hold of you and saying, hey, can we come over for coffee? And we'll have a chance to visit with you. I'll say a little bit more about that. We already mentioned the spiritual gifting and discipleship workshops. We hope to be doing that this summer. So look for that. And please be part of that. Even though, you know, if you think, well, I don't know about this, or I've done that before, or I'm not sure, suspend critique and jump in and see what God has for you. It's not about what we think, it's about what God has for you. Somewhere in the fall, likely, depending on how things go with the legalities, there'll be a need to elect an elder board. We operate as a lead team and have from the beginning, but that'll be open to us sometime in the fall. And then sometime in the fall, maybe early in the year, there will be an active, there's already, Brian, Pastor Brian, is already making foyers into the Christian community to sort of look and see who might be available to us to be a part-time pastor. We're calling it executive pastor, so admin pastor and that. And at that time, when that's secured, Pastor Brian will step away, but not away from his official role, and he will be more a pastor emeritus and doing pastoral care, like he has always been. So we're not going anywhere. No one's going anywhere. Brian's not going anywhere. Things are just shuffling around so that we can accommodate someone who can come in and work with us to some of these growth initiatives that we want to see happen. Okay. Just one more thing. The home visits. As I said, there's a legal requirement for this, so we're not just barging into your home to get free coffee. There's a legal requirement that we have a chat with everyone and see where they're at. And so it's going to be a home visit on your schedule. So we'll be calling each one of you and asking when that might be a convenient time to do it. We'll be exploring what it means to be a voting member. It's new to us, so we'll be trying to help people understand that. We'll ask you about your faith journey. How did you get to where you're at now? And how do you feel about moving forward? How do you feel about the vision that Groundswell has got? How do you see yourself fitting into that? And then we want to spend some time in those meetings getting your feedback personally. In a second or so, we're going to go into a Q&A. You can ask anything you want. We try to be as transparent as we can be. But if there's other things that you want to talk about privately, if you like the idea of just talking with a couple of people about that, then that would be a good opportunity at these interviews before. And we're calling them interviews, you know. We're not trying to go, ooh, they didn't pass. These are conversations that are legally binding conversations, so we have to, we need to have these. Okay. So I'm going to just kick, do you want to do your part, Brian? Or no, let me do this first. Let's just kick this generally to any questions that have come up so far, and any of the lead team can answer any of these, but we'll just take questions, and then Brian will unpack it a little more for us. Questions, comments, thoughts, observations? Okay. Nobody has cards that they want to talk? Okay. Well, I either confused you completely. Okay. The piece that want Brian to speak to here is the organizational chart. And again, you know what organizational charts are. That's just how a company or a church or an organization is configured. This is today. This is how we're configured today. These are the different people we have. Brian's been serving as lead pastor. One of the things that this alliance requires is that your pastor be ordained or licensed. And Brian is both, so he has been serving in that role here, doing mostly, as you know, pastoral care. There's a lead team in place. Steve Wood is our illustrious AV coordinator. And then Bethany is the administrator. We have the teaching and worship pastors, and then different ministry leaders that all come under sort of the leadership that Brian has been providing. Do you want to speak to this? Okay.
So some people have said, why are you making any changes? So June 7th of this year, I start in my 70th year. So what I really want to be able to do is to be able to change the cadence of life, if you want to call it that, and to step back a little bit and be able to transfer some of those roles. Because currently, of course, I love doing the pastoral care and spending time with people and just being able to pray with everybody as I get the chance. But I also do a lot of the recruiting of the speakers, recruiting of the worship teams, scheduling all the various ministries. And there's a sort of a legal responsibility that goes with being the pastor of the church. And I know it may not seem like much, but it is something that you carry.
Hmm.
You love the people in the congregation, and you also know you have a responsibility, to the government, to our denomination and whatever. So there's a weight that goes along with that. And so I want to be able to transfer that over. We talked about whether or not we wanted to just have the regular model where we would have a full-time lead pastor who preached every Sunday and whatever. But our feedback from everybody was, we love the different voices. We like to be able to hear it. And the richness that we get from pastors who have, been around, who have walked with the Lord in different ways and different relationships, that just brings so much to us to be able to help us grow in our love for Christ. So we want to be able to continue with that model where we're bringing in the different speakers and the different worship leaders.